WOP 95.7, Lincoln, Nebraska.
Lincoln, Nebraska is a beautiful place to raise a family. It's a wonderful town, great football, and I'll admit that even though I am Pastor Eric Brown, proud graduate of the University of Oklahoma, and with me is also a fellow OU alum,
Thomas Lemke, Boomer Sooner.
And we are the host of the Gospel Boldly podcast, where we look at the Word of God that shows God's great love even to people who root for the wrong football team from down south. Please listen in here on 95.7 The Cross.
CGS Music is a locally owned music store here in Lincoln, Nebraska. CGS Music provides musical instrument sales, rentals, and repairs of both string and band instruments. Visit cgsmusic.net. Again, that's cgsmusic.net, or call 402-328-0677. That's 402-328-0677.
5678. Howdy, y'all. This is Ashley.
And this is Callie.
We're the host of Notes from the Stage, and we're here every Thursday night from 5 to 6 p.m. on KNNA LP 95.7 FM.
We love show tunes from musicals so much that we've decided to share just a few of them with you, like Lion King, Chicago.
Ooh!
What?
Well, don't forget about Wicked, too.
Oh, man, yeah.
And we're pretty sure it's going to be the bee's knees. So come join us right here on KNNA LP 95.7 FM every Thursday night from 5 to 6 p.m.
Abortion. Just the word makes many of us sweat. We can lose sleep thinking about how we respond to conversations about it. Much of our culture's conversation about life issues like abortion or assisted suicide is motivated by anger and fear and pain. Hi, I'm Pastor Michael Solomink, Executive Director of Lutherans for Life. Our ministry exists to equip Lutherans to be gospel-motivated voices for life. You can find resources that will give you motivation, get you education, and help you take action about life issues in your family and your community. Visit our website at www.lutheransforlife.org or call us at 888-364-LIFE. That's 888-364-5433. And be motivated by the gospel of joy and hope in Jesus Christ.
As many of you already know, KNNA 95.7 The Cross operates entirely on volunteer work. It also functions entirely on donations. That's right. Donations provided to the station by listeners like you. If you would like to help KNNA grow and continue, please consider a donation. You can go to the web at thecross957.org. That's thecross957.org for more information and to donate.
This is Pastor Clint Poppy, Good Shepherd Lutheran Church in Lincoln, Nebraska. We'd like to invite you to join us to worship with us at Good Shepherd. We gather each Sunday at 8 and 10:30 with Sunday school for all ages in between. We also worship each Wednesday evening at 6:30 p.m. Please join us, won't you? We're located just north of 40th and Old Cheney. Thank you, and may God richly bless you today and always in Jesus.
LP in KNNA LP stands for low power. It means we only have a certain amount of wattage to broadcast our station. So, when you hear us start to fade, go to our free KNNA app for your mobile device or go to the web at www.thecross957.org and listen to us wherever you go.
Welcome, Lincoln, to the Y-Files.
Hello.
I'm Captain Kirk. Along by my side is David. Say hello, David.
Hello, David.
As always, we get the dad joke in there. Mm-hmm. So, David and I, we have this program in order to ask some pretty serious questions within the Christian faith and some other things, too.
Mm-hmm.
We've covered everything from the validity of the Bible, the existence of Jesus, and... Of course, aliens. I always like bringing that one up. Just it's so fun to say that on live radio out there.
It's a meme.
It's a meme.
It's a meme. Well, you know the show Ancient Aliens.
Yes.
The guy with the crazy
with
hair.
With the crazy hair.
Who says everything is aliens. That
yes.
became a meme.
Because it's not possible for humans to be that smart. They had to have help from
aliens.
So we have talked about that. That is an older episode. You can actually see that on our website, thecross957.org, and go to the Y-Files page, and you can actually listen to that episode if you are so inclined. But there's a lot of other topics in there as well. We've covered communion, we've covered baptism, and lately we've covered a lot about abortion.
Mm-hmm.
The first episode that Pastor Salamink was on, we talked about abortion. Last week we talked about abortion. This week we're continuing the abortion, but we're shifting the topic just a hair, but not by much. But last week's episode was incredible and dark
indeed.
At the same time, and I definitely recommend listening to that one. Once again, you can go to thecross957.org and go to the program's archive page, click on Y-Files, and then the archive, and you can see all the episodes that we've done since March 4th.
Mm.
I've been doing this since March 4th. And before I introduce our pastor once again, you can also go to our Y-Files page, our Facebook page. That's the Y-Files Facebook page. That's the letter Y. Go to that page, like that page, share our page, comment on it. And that's even where you can go and ask questions that you might like to have on this program, which we do have listener-submitted questions.
Indeed.
Now, this month has been a little bit different because we're having a mini-part series here with Pastor Salamink, and he's kind of taken up the entire month of August, which is great. I mean, it's been fantastic topics. But next month is a little bit more free in having listener-submitted questions. So don't hesitate to do that. If you don't want to ask your pastor personally, you can submit that question to us, and we'll ask a pastor for you. That's what the Y-Files is for. So whether you are agnostic, atheist, Christian, or a completely different religion altogether, this show is for you. So please welcome Pastor Salamink, Executive Director of Lutherans for Life. Welcome back to the Y-Files, Pastor.
Hey, I'm very excited to have another hard-hitting conversation today.
Yeah, no kidding. Last week was hard for me, and as I mentioned last week, the article that you wrote about it hit me hard, and then the episode itself just even further hit me harder. it was a great episode, though, to say the least. So welcome back, Pastor, to the YFL. So I've done so much talking as it is. We only have a few minutes before the first break. So, David, let's get the show on the road.
Okay. Our question for today, main question, is does having a disability, either mental or physical, warrant abortion?
Or even assisted suicide.
Or assisted suicide, yeah, later in life.
Certainly, we need to face up front that disability is used as a justification for seeking an abortion, also for seeking assisted suicide. For example, if a couple finds out that the child that they're pregnant with, the child they're carrying, has Down syndrome or anencephaly or spina bifida. In a lot of cases, once that information is shared with the couple, their physician will also ask them if they want to schedule a termination. The same is true in the case of the end of life. When a lot of times people will draft advance directives in which they indicate that if I slip into a coma, if I have the need for relying on machines to operate my organs, if I become mentally incapacitated, I don't want to go on living anymore, and that would be the time when I would like to seek an assisted suicide. So those are disability, either a mental deficiency or a physical impairment, do cause people to seek out assisted suicide and abortion. The question we want to answer is that rational? Is it reasonable? Certainly, it is true that disabilities present challenges. A lot of disabilities cut lifespans short. Some disabilities even cause death. Some of those disabilities cause death before a child is born, or a child may be born with a disability and only live a short while after. And certainly we cannot understate the difficulties and suffering that disabilities cause for persons who have them and for the people who love them. They can bring a lot of grief and fear. But does that mean then that we ought to cut a life short? And the question, the central question in this discussion is the same for every discussion that involves abortion or assisted suicide. What makes a human being valuable? What makes a life worth living? Think, for example, if we had a loved one, or we ourselves, who would develop an injury or a disorder in the middle of life, in the prime of life. Suppose that I was in a horrible automobile accident and was paralyzed, lost the use of my limbs. Does that mean that I am all of a sudden a different person, less of a person? If someone is born with only one arm or only one lung, if someone is born without any arms at all, are they not a human being? Do they become some other kind of creature? Or on the other end, does a person who has a high IQ or exceptional athletic ability, are they twice as human, twice as valuable as people of average ability? I think most folks, if not everyone, would say that a person's humanity, a person's worth as a human being, is not based on their abilities, whether those abilities be physical or intellectual. And so we sort of establish that as a baseline. Disability cannot diminish what a person is worth. It is what we are, not what we do, that gives us our value. And it doesn't matter how many arms or legs you have, if your genetic code defines you as species Homo sapiens, mm-hmm. you are a human being just as much as me. And your life is worth living just as much as mine, because we don't know the future. And we don't know how one life impacts so many others. So human value is something that cannot be measured. It's all or nothing. You're either a human being or you're not. And if you're a human being, you have just as much value as every other human being. So that sort of gives us an approach for how we look at these situations. And so the question then becomes, in situations of difficulty or suffering, what is the best solution? Is ending a life through abortion or assisted suicide, is it the only remedy available for disability? Is it the best remedy available for disability? And how do access to abortion and assisted suicide medications make things better for the persons with disabilities? And here we ought to think especially about those persons with disabilities who want to go on living. So that's something that we can discuss after the break. What effects legalizing these procedures for persons with disability might have on those who do want to continue living.
What a great way to start off the show. So don't go away. We'll be right back. You're listening to The Y-Files. Don't go away.
KNNA The Cross on your car radio is amazing. What makes it more amazing is the ability to listen to 95.7 FM on the web at www.thecross957.org. Plus, you can check out our archive shows and listen to previous programs on demand. It's easy, it's educational, it's KNNA The Cross. Thecross957.org. That's thecross957.org.
If you have questions you have been wanting to ask a pastor, but haven't for whatever reason, then here is your chance. You can send your questions to The Y-Files, where we will then ask your question on The Y-Files program on your behalf. Just go to The Y-Files Facebook page and submit a question. It's that easy. Tune in to The Y-Files every Sunday at 2 p.m. for new episodes. You don't want to pass this up.
Hi, I'm old lovable Jack Kirk.
And I'm Nancy. And we co-host a big band program called When Music Was Music.
If you like great music with a blend of instruments and unforgettable instrumental solos,
if you enjoy memorable singers and close harmony vocal groups, then our program is just what you are looking for.
Tune us in every Friday night from 7 to 9 right here on The Cross, KNNALP FM 95.7.
Welcome back to The Y-Files. I'm Captain Kirk, along here with David, and joining us this afternoon is Pastor Salamink, Executive Director of Lutherans for Life. You can go to that website, by the way, lutheransforlife.org, and that's all one word, no numbers in there, lutheransforlife.org. So, David, we've already had the beginning of the show is already amazing. Do you want to let our listeners know what the question is we're discussing, anyone who's just coming in?
Yeah, we were discussing, is abortion validated by the presence of a mental or physical disability?
Yeah, and so Pastor Salamink, you just took the last several minutes to discuss with us the value of life and how precious life is. So okay, so let's continue on with that.
Well, that's ultimately what it all comes back to. Is even though a given person's life may involve difficulties or challenges that are different from the average, does that affect what they're worth as a person? One of the hallmarks of Christianity is that Christianity has believed and practiced from the beginning that every human being is infinitely and equally valuable. As a matter of fact, Jesus Christ, the founder of the religion, in his earthly ministry, he went out of his way to welcome and affirm all kinds of folks who were visibly broken. Now, he did this to show ultimately that there's not anything different in terms of value about a person who has different abilities than the average person. The truth is, Jesus would say, apart from me, no one can do anything. But when a person is connected to God's grace through Jesus Christ, that person is capable of great things, no matter what they're capable of on their own. The truth is that all of us are broken in one way or another. My eyes may work the way that God designed them to, my ears may, my arms may be able to do the things God had in mind, but maybe my stomach doesn't, or my back doesn't, or even if all of my bodily parts work the way that God designed them to, my heart certainly doesn't. My conscience doesn't, because I am affected by selfishness and sin. This is exactly why Jesus came into the world, to show that God cherishes every human being as a precious treasure. This having Jesus in our flesh gives purpose to pain. Jesus was broken in his crucifixion. He was weak in his birth as a baby in a manger. And so God sanctified these states of human existence to show what a privilege it is for every human being to have the gift of life.
Really quick, just pointing this out really quick, that, you know, a lot of people who are not Christian will hear Christians that Jesus is God, he's all powerful. You just said Jesus is weak. Do you want to clarify that just briefly?
Absolutely. When we say Jesus is weak, we mean that in Jesus, God has become a human being. And God didn't become kind of like a super-powered human being. He became a regular human being like you and me. Now, Jesus, he was capable of channeling the power of his heavenly Father to perform miracles. But we're also told in the record of his life that he slept. He walked to get from place to place rather than flying or teleporting. He bled. He cried. He got hungry. He got angry. And ultimately, he died. Mm-hmm. To show that God is not put off. He does not distance himself from our weaknesses. In fact, God draws near to us in weakness so that we might know that God's strength is able to sustain us no matter how broken we are. That is the core message of Christianity and one that's very applicable to situations of disability.
Pastor Salamanque, you basically just mentioned the Trinity. I mean, you didn't mention the Holy Spirit, but so anyone who is confused by any of that, I highly recommend going to a previous episode of the Y-Files. It's on the archive. We talk about the Holy Trinity to get a better understanding of that. It is a mystery, but there's a better understanding. And I would ask Pastor Salamanque to discuss that, but it will take an entire episode. And
of course.
we don't have that time today. So thank you for clarifying that.
Sure. It's enough to basically summarize the fact that Jesus came into the world to show that God loves every human being no matter what condition they're in, because we're all in a condition of brokenness. Mm-hmm. When it comes to the question of is abortion or assisted suicide a good, right, and salutary way of addressing disability, I wonder if it ever occurs to us to ask persons with disabilities what they think. It turns out that surveys like this have been done, and most persons with disabilities actually appreciate and enjoy their lives. Now, that might blow the minds of healthy, normal, able-bodied persons, because we think to ourselves, if I was in that condition, I would be absolutely miserable and wouldn't want to live anymore. But what kind of judgment are you passing then on that person's life by coming to that conclusion? Mm-hmm. It turns out that these folks who struggle with disabilities, they love their lives as much as you and I do. They just have different struggles. Their families are grateful to have them around. It's also important to remember that doctors misdiagnose. So there are certainly more than enough anecdotes of folks who have received a prenatal disability diagnosis, a message from the doctor that says, we found that your child who's going to be born is going to have this disability, and then it turns out that they were reading the signs wrong. The same is true at the end of life. I don't want to undermine confidence in the medical profession. I would say most of the time physicians get it right. But when you're dealing with deciding whether to live or die, close doesn't count, you know?
Yeah.
We're looking for there's no medical professional that can undo death. So once you make that decision to end a life, there has to be absolute certainty about these things, and that's just not possible mm-hmm. in the case of disability. Now, even when disability diagnoses are accurate, there are many disabilities that don't turn out to be as burdensome as we thought they would.
Right.
In fact, living with disability actually offers some advantages. The Down syndrome community is very enthusiastic about defending the unique perspectives that persons with Down syndrome bring to human life. Furthermore, disability can motivate society, can motivate the human community to compassion. It can motivate me to be to look out for another person's needs, to help them, maybe even to look for the ways that they can benefit me or teach me things that I would not have otherwise known.
So when you say when they can benefit you, you're not talking in selfish or greedy needs, correct?
No, I'm saying that because a person with a disability has a different perspective on life than me, right? They see things differently because they have different needs, different experiences. They can bring something to my experience of life that I would not have otherwise had.
Right. Right. I know this doesn't really compare to, you know, actually having an encounter with somebody like this, but I remember going through some images of children starving, say, in Africa, and the living conditions that they have. And, you know, I don't have cable TV, but I would imagine they still show video images of situations like this, and they ask people to donate. But my point is, it really brings to heart the blessings that I have, you know, and just sure. And just a few minutes later, I was moaning and complaining and angry that the app on my phone didn't work.
First world problems.
Exactly, the first world problem. And it's always a humbling experience. So I can definitely see how, you know, having an interaction with somebody who's in a different situation with mm-hmm. a different disability, they have a way, whether verbally saying it to you or just showing you, the blessings that you do have, and that's a great way of God humbling us for sure.
Yeah, I think the bottom line is that getting rid of a person is not the same thing as getting rid of a problem.
Oh yeah.
And getting rid of a problem is not the same thing as getting to a solution. So death is no solution for disability. And I don't know about you, but I don't want to live in a world where we solve our problems by getting rid of anybody who suffers. That just Agreed. Seems like an unhealthy way to deal with it. And in fact, research shows that abortions that involve disability increase the degree of guilt and grief that the parents suffer afterwards. On top of that, it sort of imposes a societal expectation that persons with disabilities or a depression or terminal diagnosis, that their life is a burden to the rest of us, and that it should be ended sooner rather than later. You know, once you start using death as a solution to disability, we have to ask the question, which injuries, which emotional disorders, which behavioral interruptions are worthy of death and which aren't? Where do you draw the line? If we were to use that as a justification for ending people's lives, would we have laws that limit abortion and assisted suicide only to circumstances that involve disability? That's not the way it is now.
And who's to decide what is the correct, you know, diagnosis for being able to do something like that? I mean, you mentioned earlier right. how doctors aren't always right. Well, that would be the same case with a situation like this. You may not be right to make that decision.
Well, and just think of it this way. Where would be the IQ cutoff that would distinguish a disability from just a difference? Mm-hmm. Right? And once we do that, what other differences between people would we find unacceptable?
And at that point, we're not seeing people as people. We're seeing people as objects.
We're seeing them as measurements things that accomplish things, machines, right?
Yeah.
We're not seeing the inherent value in a human life. And in fact, this is how the Holocaust happened. The Holocaust began in Germany with the extermination of disabled persons called Action T4, was the very first order that was given in the Nazi regime to put otherwise living people to death. They began to euthanize folks who were living with severe mental and physical disabilities.
Interesting. I hadn't heard that before.
No
and
kidding.
So that eventually, eventually led to viewing some human beings as more valuable than others. And I think the world has spoken that is something that's absolutely unacceptable.
It, what amazes me is, you know, in relation to history, that wasn't that long ago that happened. I mean, obviously, I wasn't alive then, but that's World War II, late 1930s, early 1940s.
Right. We're talking about less than 100 years ago.
Yeah, and what amazes me is that Europe is now basically restarting this program. They're you know, euthanizing those who are disabled.
In certain parts, in Iceland and Denmark, The studies show that more than 98% of pregnancies that involve Down syndrome are terminated.
Yeah, and it just amazes me how many people were absolutely against this type of behavior in World War II, mm-hmm. and where we're at now, we're just, in a way, repeating history, and it's very saddening to see this happen. And it just,
not to mention scary.
Yeah, exactly, scary, but they're just throwing life away as if it doesn't mean anything.
It doesn't have to be that way, because while a disability describes a person, it never defines a person. And the involvement of love, the involvement of God in a person's life, is able to redeem a life no matter how broken it is. Now, that doesn't mean that the gospel of Jesus Christ is going to give us all the answers to the question of why does this happen and what does it mean.
Yeah.
But we do know that God's forgiveness promises that there is hope and purpose to every life. And so instead of asking, well, what if there's a disability, maybe we should ask, so what if there's a disability?
Joining us this afternoon is Pastor Salomon, Executive Director of Lutherans for Life. We're discussing, does a disability warrant an abortion or assisted suicide? So this is the Y-Files. I'm Captain Kirk, along here with David. We're going to take a quick bottom of the hour break, so don't go away. And also, while you're waiting, go to our Y-Files page on Facebook. See you in just a bit.
Listening to
The Cross.
KNNA 95.7 FM, Lincoln, Nebraska.
Gettysburg, Shiloh, Antietam, Pea Ridge, Vicksburg, Chickamauga, Cold Harbor, The Wilderness, Fredericksburg, Appomattox Courthouse. These names stir up thoughts and images of the bloodiest conflict in American history. Brother versus brother, North versus South, Grant versus Lee, Lincoln versus Davis, the American Civil War. It has been said that those who fail to learn from their history are doomed to repeat it. We invite you to listen and learn as KNNALP 95.7 The Cross brings to you the Civil War Podcast. Tune in every Monday and Wednesday at 2 p.m. for a new episode. That's the Civil War Podcast, Monday and Wednesday at 2 p.m. right here on KNNA 95.7 The Cross. Chancellorsville, Missionary Ridge, Island Number 10, Fort Pillow, Petersburg, Malvern Tavern.
So that is the stuff when I talk about the necessity for reason, that's the stuff I think that is more relevant. Now, I think that you do need a religious system in order to inform people who are not going to sit around philosophizing all day what are good and bad modes of behavior.
With something pretty exciting at the beginning of the year here, you know, something that's really debated and talked about in the realm of politics and these sorts of things is, do we need God for a moral foundation in order to have an objective reality? That's really the big question, and that's...
Listen to Matthew Garnett and In Layman's Terms on Tuesday mornings at 8 o'clock and Friday afternoons at 5 p.m., right after Issues, etc.
Welcome back to the Y-Files. I'm Captain Kirk, along here with David. Say hello, David.
Hello, David.
I don't know why I laugh at that every single time. We do
every
it.
Every time. Because you're a dad. That's why.
Maybe that's why. Joining us this afternoon is Pastor Salomink, Executive Director of Lutherans for Life. You can go to the website, lutheransforlife.org. Lutheransforlife.org. That's all one word, no numbers. And while you're on the internet, open up a new tab and go to our Facebook page, The Y-Files. Like our page, share our page, comment, and submit any questions that you might have. That you would like to ask a pastor, and we can ask it for you, which we do have several questions already submitted, and we just haven't gotten to it this month because Pastor Salamick has so kindly agreed to do a three-part miniseries this month. He'll also be on next week as well. And we've been doing a lot of discussion on abortion and just a few minutes ago assisted suicide. But I believe we're ready to move on. By the way, Pastor Salamick, welcome back to the show once again. I meant to say that before going on to the questions. So thanks for being on again. It's been an absolute honor and a pleasure. So, David, we're going to steer things differently.
Indeed.
So go ahead.
Well, there are quite a few people who are concerned about overpopulation, global overpopulation specifically. Some of them are just short of saying that we need to reduce the population in order to help the world on multiple levels. Pastor, are they right?
Well, you know what? It was probably about a year or a year and a half ago when Prince William and his wife, Kate Middleton, of Great Britain, had given birth to their second child, and there was a news magazine or a cultural commentator who wrote a public letter to Will and Kate asking them, for the sake of the environment, please don't have any more children.
After two?
Please don't have any more children. So there is certainly an undercurrent of concern about whether or not the world's resources can support so many people. The world's population continues to grow. As we currently speak, it's about 7 billion. But what we see is poverty. Despite dramatic advances in agriculture, in manufacturing, in communication, some people still don't have access to what they need to survive. So should we encourage couples to have fewer children? And if we encourage couples to have fewer children and they don't, should governments be able to intervene?
Such as China.
Interestingly enough, though, this is not a modern problem. It goes all the way back to the late 18th century, so the late 1700s. There was a professor by the name of Thomas Malthus, and his theory was that human population grows geometrically, but food production only grows arithmetically. In other words, human population multiplies while food production only adds. So as you can see, his fear was that unless birth rates decreased, human population was going to quickly and vastly outpace the ability of the earth to feed everybody. He said we could face apocalyptic consequences. Now, that was in the late 18th century. Here we are in the early 21st century, and those apocalyptic consequences have not come to pass. However, there's nothing new under the sun. And in the late 1960s, a biologist from Stanford by the name of Paul Ehrlich, he said that global population was now growing so fast that by the 1980s and 1990s, we would have mass starvations across the globe. His prophecies also have failed. Nonetheless, there are many people who lay the blame for deforestation or fossil fuel depletion or the extinction of animal species or most recently and more popularly climate change. They lay blame for that at the fact that there are too many people in the world.
David, you were wanting to ask a question there.
Yeah, the gentleman in the 1700s who believed...
Malthus,
yeah. What was his timeline on the overpopulation? When did he think it was going to become a problem?
Imminently.
In his lifetime.
So within a generation.
Wow.
Yep.
Clear back in the 1700s.
That's the same way that Paul Ehrlich was, or even more recently... former Vice President Al Gore's award-winning documentary, An Inconvenient Truth, also forecast that actually by this time that we're living in right now, there would be worldwide flooding and catastrophes and shortages of food and all kinds of things that have not come to pass. So these ideas, even though they continue to be discredited by data, as we're going to show in a few minutes, they continue to be sort of recycled to support wholesale changes in public policy. The problem is that the demographics simply don't confirm the conclusion that the world is overpopulated. The United Nations population division, they have indicated that the current level of food production in the world could sustain 10 billion people.
Wow.
And that same population division is estimating in its most realistic prediction that world population will peak at 9 billion people and then begin to decrease. This is because population, while it is still growing, is slowing down. Many developed countries, like the United States, have more people dying than being born every year. We call it the replacement rate. And usually the replacement rate is each woman needs to give birth to 2.1 children in order to replace her and her husband and anybody out there who can't have children of their own. So 2.1 children. We're still working up the technology to be able to procreate tenths of a child.
I've always wondered that.
That was my question about the 2.1.
Right, right. It's an average.
Right. Right.
Some European countries will already pay people to have more children.
I've heard about that.
Very famously in Poland, in Denmark, there have been advertising campaigns urging people to make babies. In Japan, each woman averages giving birth to 1.21 children. That is well below the replacement rate. And total population will fall 90% in just four generations if that rate continues. Four generations. A generation is defined as about 17 to 20 years.
Right. Do you think that the lack of having babies and population is due to people going around saying, hey, we need to reduce the population of the world? Or do you think it's just people are happier in their lives and technology is satisfactory for them? They don't need to have children. I mean, what do you think is causing that?
If I had to guess, I would say that it is the effectiveness of hormonal contraception. So the fact that we can now separate sexuality from procreation, that has exploded in the last 50 to 75 years, which is coincidentally when we've seen the birth rates start to fall so much.
Interesting.
And at this point, some of the projections about the decrease in population suggest that there might not be very much we can do about it, even if people started having 5 and 7 children apiece. So rather than overpopulation, the data actually shows that the world is facing a very real problem of underpopulation. This will be a problem because population will continue to get older. So there'll be more older people because we're living longer, because our medical technologies have advanced, able to sustain life.
Right.
But the older people are giving birth to fewer younger people, and it is the young people who are the workforce. Those people in the workforce are the ones who support the older folks.
This is really interesting. I have a question for you when we get back from the break. This is the Y-Files. I am Captain Kirk, along here with David, and joining us this afternoon is Pastor Salamink, Executive Director of Lutherans for Life. Go to our Facebook page, The Y-Files, like our page, share our page, make any comments. and submit any questions that you might have on our Facebook page, and we'll try to get that onto this program. So we do live files live Sundays to 2 p.m. to 3 p.m. Try to do every Sunday. Sometimes pastors aren't available. Sometimes we're not available, David.
So. Indeed.
So anyways, we got to take a quick break. Don't go away. We got more great stuff coming up.
Listen and learn. Tune in to Classroom 1 right here on KNNALP FM 95.7, Lincoln, Nebraska.
Listen to 95.7 FM on your phone by downloading the KNNA app for your Android or Apple device, and listen to us anywhere in the world.
Lincoln, Nebraska is a beautiful place to raise a family. It's a wonderful town, great football, and I'll admit that even though I am Pastor Eric Brown, proud graduate of the University of Oklahoma, and with me is also a fellow OU alum,
Thomas Lemke, Boomer Sooner.
And we are the host of the Gospel Boldly podcast, where we look at the Word of God that shows God's great love even to people who root for the wrong football team from down south. Please listen in here on 95.7 The Cross.
Hey, old lovable Jack.
What?
We lost power to the radio again.
Again?
Yeah.
What are we going to do unless people can donate to us and help us, you know, keep on the air and make the repairs?
I know. With donations, we can buy backup systems and equipment so that when something goes down, as it happens, we can quickly replace it and get back on the air for our fans.
Boy, it would sure be neat if everybody that we know could donate to us and just help us out a little bit.
Yeah, so they can just go to www.thecross957.org.
Really?
Yes, that's www.thecross957.org.
And it's real easy from there, isn't it?
Just click on that donate button and follow the instructions. Or maybe they could snail mail it, Jack.
They could send a check to us right here at KNNALP, 3825 Wildbriar Lane, Lincoln, Nebraska 68516. See, Nancy, I do remember where we work.
5 seconds is the average time your eyes are off the road while texting. When traveling at 55 miles per hour, that's enough time to cover the length of a football field blindfolded. Put down the phone. Don't text and drive.
Welcome back to the Wi-Files after that really short break. Joining us this afternoon is Pastor Salamink. I'm Captain Kirk along here with David. And if you've missed most of this episode, you're more than welcome to go to the website about 15, 20 minutes after this program ends. And you go to the website, thecross957.org, and you can listen to that on demand. Just go to the Wi-Files page on that website. That's thecross957.org. So, Pastor Salamink, this episode we've talked a lot about, do disabilities warrant an abortion or assisted suicide? And we've just discussed overpopulation, and we might get to another topic if there is time. So before the break, I said I wanted to ask a question, so here it is, and this is in relation to overpopulation. Now, let's just pretend that overpopulation is a legitimate concern. Let's just say that the data says, yes, this is showing that it's going to be overpopulation. So let's, for the sake of argument, let's think of that. So the question is, do people have a legitimate reason to be concerned with overpopulation? So what I'm getting at is, you know, as a Bible-believing Christian, we trust God to take care of us.
Mm-hmm.
But you know, there also is sin in the world. So, I mean, would God let that happen for overpopulation to be an issue?
Well, let's be clear. Overpopulation itself is never a problem. Unless you hate human beings, right? Then you could come to the conclusion that, my gosh, there's just too many people around here. But when we talk about,
I say that about Lincoln. I want to go live out in the country now. I'm just kidding. I'm sorry.
But when we talk about overpopulation, what we have in mind is poverty. Ultimately, the problem is poverty. Is that there doesn't appear to be enough to go around, and so people are suffering, perhaps unnecessarily, perhaps necessarily. But what lies in the background, the reason why why I would talk about this particular topic is because people use it to justify abortions, to say that for the welfare of future generations, we must limit the number of children by abortion if necessary, which is exactly what China has done in times past, and they still are doing today. So you're right, there are two separate questions. Number one, are there too many people in the world? And number two, if there are, what action should we take about that? What's a reasonable action to take? It turns out that more people actually means better solutions to poverty and other difficulties, right?
Right.
The old proverb, two heads are better than one, actually holds true. Anywhere in the world, any time in world history where civilizations have overcome a scarcity of resources, they have done so by everybody working together. And the whole is greater than the sum of the parts. So in order to solve poverty, sometimes certain segments of the population have to become comfortable with a less luxurious standard of living. Because then you solve the poverty problem with sort of sharing things differently. Mm-hmm. On the other hand, if you are... If you are devoting resources to family planning or population control, that's only going to make things worse because those resources could be being used to make sure that the people who are hungry or who need clothing and shelter are getting what they need, mm-hmm. right?
Right.
People in poverty don't need lectures about sexuality. What they need is food and clothes. So let's devote our resources to providing food and clothes. And if we put our heads together, the more human beings there are thinking about these problems, seeking solutions, the better our chances are going to be that we come to an effective solution. This is what the population forecasters, the people who dread apocalyptic consequences, fail to factor into their equations. The human factor, ingenuity, creativity, cooperation and community have in every age of human civilization have risen to the challenge to overcome poverty. So for example, today, fresh water withdrawals, okay, getting fresh water out of the ground, the amount of fresh water that we've been able to draw out of the ground has risen 7 times over in the last 100 years. In the last 100 years, population has only gone up 4 times over. Huh. So we've actually figured out how to get more water than we need. Wow. Now, I said before that there are fewer than 8 billion people who live on Earth.
Right.
If we divided up all the land, all the livable land on Earth, every one of those individuals could have 5 acres to himself or herself. A whole half acre of that would be suitable for farming, right? Huh. A half acre is about the size that you live on with your house.
Right.
Okay, so you could have that for farm. If all we needed was a house, a shelter, we could all fit in Texas. And the population density would still be lower than a lot of the world's cities. If all we needed was a place to roll out a sleeping bag and bed down for the night, we could all fit in Connecticut and the rest of the world would be wide open for whatever other use we needed. That's given the current population. So because we have put our heads together and have come up with these wonderful solutions, overpopulation really is not a problem. Hmm. Now, I will say we do have a distribution problem. That is, some people are selfish, mm-hmm. and we hoard more than we need. Mm-hmm. So the solution to that, though, is not to get rid of the people who have less, but to focus on motivating folks to share what they have.
Right.
So does that mean that I should take some random stuff out of my house and go over to my neighbor's house and say, hey, do you want this?
you know, maybe that wouldn't be a bad place to start. Of course, we have communities and organizations that will help you be less random about it.
Sure.
Charities that can say, we know these people that need these things, so if you have extras of these things, we will make sure that they get to the people who need them.
I actually had a neighbor about 3 years ago. I was working outside. He comes on over and says, hey, do you you want this Cozy Coop toy? You know, those little toy cars. And my kids don't need it. But he didn't need it, but my kids could use it. And so, I was willing to take it. So, yeah, you're right. I mean, it could be just something just as small as that.
Absolutely. And it's a change in perspective because when we're talking about the needs that people have are for food and clothing, that should motivate us to charity and compassion. Rather than motivating us to talk about how can we get rid of people so that I don't have to sacrifice any of my luxuries. Right. So when a person comes to me and says, well, we need abortion to be legal because there are too many people in the world and folks are suffering from poverty and you're just bringing children into the world to suffer, I want to hear from them how they are actively being charitable, giving away the extra stuff that they have to help other people before I'm going to talk about a drastic measure like ending people's lives, because I don't believe that that's necessary.
And clearly that puts things, stuff, over human life.
Right.
And
that's not where we want to be, especially when, as Christians, we serve a God who says, behold, children are a heritage from the Lord. Blessed is the man who fills his quiver with them. So God says, more people is better.
Yeah, be fruitful and multiply. Yeah.
He does say that's why he wants people to have children. And it's interesting if you read the scriptures, how much people in there want children, right? They feel disgraced and deprived if they're not able to have children and have a lot of children.
That's part of the culture of the time, is it not?
Sure.
A little bit. Or no.
But we could ask the question, why? Why was that part of the culture of the time?
Mm-hmm. Because God says, be fruitful and
multiply. Is anything about it applicable to our times? I mean, you know, someone mentioned during the break, God's promise to Abraham was that his offspring would be more than the stars or the grains of sand on the shore. And Abraham and the people of Israel believed that that was a good thing.
Right.
Now, mm-hmm. if we're to put a number on that, scientists estimate that our galaxy has 100 billion stars. That's just our galaxy. And 7 quintillion grains of sand. So if God says it's a good thing if I give you more than the stars or more than the sands, we're still a long way from that in terms of world population.
Right.
Well, I mean, it's just technological advancement typically outstrips need. You know, I mean, if we were seriously overpopulated, you know, maybe we could terraform Mars. Maybe we could have cities underwater.
Wouldn't it be worth it in order to preserve human life?
Right. Right.
I mean, wouldn't that be a better solution than saying we're going to get rid of a tenth of the population?
Yeah, I think so.
I mean, it sounds far-fetched, but honestly, like, two heads is better than one, like
right.
you say. I mean, come up with a solution.
And that's the way that the best cultures have responded to the problem of scarcity of resources in times past. They have just said, well, we're going to get more creative. We're going to work harder.
Yeah.
Joining us this afternoon is Pastor Salamink. He's the Executive Director of Lutherans for Life. You can go to the Lutherans for Life webpage, lutheransforlife.org. That's lutheransforlife.org. That's all one word, no numbers in there. You can also go to our Facebook page and like our Facebook page, share our Facebook page, make comments on it, and also submit your questions that you'd like to have on this program. And we can say your name, or we don't have to say your name. It depends on what you want to do. But we can definitely do that for you if you, for some reason, don't want to ask your pastor or a friend of yours, come to this program. You can also listen to previous episodes at thecross957.org and go to our live files page. I'm Captain Kirk, along here with David. Say bye, David.
Bye, David.
Pastor Salamink, thank you once again for being on the Y-Files, and we'll see you next week, right?
Right.
I think he froze.
Correct.
I think we lost him, but yeah, he will be back next week. So Lincoln, have a good rest of the week. We'll see you later.